And we're calling this teaching very simply, Broad or Narrow Way. Broad or Narrow Way. And we're going to base this from Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 to 14. 13 to 14 of Matthew 7, which says this, Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. One could say that is not very positive, what our Lord is saying there. Many would regard that as quite negative and would think, well, what is the point? Who can really make it? Who can go through this narrow way? Well, like all things, if God is speaking to us and showing us these verses by the Holy Spirit, then he's doing it for a reason. And he wouldn't be speaking to us if it is not possible. So we can always, what might outwardly appear to look negative, our faith makes it positive. The very fact that God reveals it to me, the very fact that he's teaching me, shows that I have a chance. But this is the Lord presenting the gospel, the way, and not compromising, not watering it down, not entertaining the people like so much that we have today behind the pulpit. Not at all. He reveals that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he is the only one who can take us through that narrow way. This is why he is the overcomer who's gone before, prepared the way. He has overcome the spirit of this age. He's overcome all the obstacles of this world and the very devil himself who tries to stop and hinder us. So that is the good news of the gospel. And that is why we're calling our teaching Broad or Narrow Way. And it really starts with verse 7, where he speaks about knocking, asking. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So he's showing, yes, it doesn't seem as though your prayers, your walk, what you are believing for seems to be answered, but keep with it, keep knocking, keep coming, keep listening. The door will be opened. Because this leads into what Jesus is speaking about here with regards to the broad and narrow way. He also, of course, refers to this in Luke 13 and verse 24, Luke 13 and Luke 13 and verse 24, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. So again, he seems to give something that's rather negative. And he's saying here with this narrow gate that many will try to enter and will not be able. So he gives a little bit more insight into what he is saying here. So why is it we hear that heaven is such an easy place to enter, which is how so much of it is presented? We assume that All our loved ones, everyone we know, all family, all friends will be in heaven. Where does this idea come from? It comes, a lot of it, from funerals, where they present that there's a better place for everyone. Doesn't matter how you lived, what sin you have or whatever it is, there's a place there that's much better. We've heard it. We've been to these funerals, and that's how all of it is presented. And even in many denominational churches, as long as you are a member of the church, you're Roman Catholic or Anglican or Baptist or whatever it is, you will make it into the kingdom of heaven. I wish, because it would make my job a lot easier. But it isn't how the Bible presents it. You see, we don't want to believe that those who live after the flesh will die and go to heaven. We want to believe that all will go. But the Bible tells us that those who live after the flesh will not enter into heaven, as Romans 8:13 tells us. Romans 8 and verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So there we are. So that is why we are to take up our cross daily and follow Christ, putting to death the things of the flesh that we battle with, that we at times find hard to overcome. But as we yield to the cross its work, through the power of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, he's going to put to death the deeds of the flesh, the works of the flesh. And it can only be the power of God that can do that. And it's as we accept what he says with regard to the flesh and not compromise on it. See, those who begin to compromise or compromise in their teaching are not putting to death the deeds of the flesh. The gospel that is compromise is making excuses for the things of the flesh. And it's quite clear it doesn't. Jesus doesn't. But he says it's not impossible for those who walk by faith and not by sight. And if you look by sight at times with your life, it looks hopeless. But we look by faith to the promises of God's word and what he says. The greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. We don't want to believe that the gate is narrow and straight. Many don't want to believe it, but we have to believe it. We have to settle it and just believe that by faith God will enable us to get through. Now, straight means obstacles. It's narrow. That's how it reads in the Greek. It's compressed. And so we get this idea that you go on a walk or whatever it would be, you're hiking, tracking, and in your walk you come to various parts where it gets very narrow. And sometimes you almost have to get through crevices where you turn to one side to press through. It's that narrow. You can just get through. And this is the idea of what it means. It has obstacles. It's narrow. It's compressed. It can get very, very close where you can just get through. I've been on such walks like that. That's what it means. And then the opposite that he speaks of, where it's wide, broad, in other words, it's spread out. The Greek presents it like a plot of ground. It's open. No obstacles. You can walk through. No problem. And of course, the Bible presents to us that most go that way. Because it's easy. And we all at times want to go that way. We all at times feel, oh, I just want a break from this. Every day seems like a trial, testings. But that is the narrow way that you are walking. And the trials of your faith, the obstacles, the things, the mountains that seem impossible to overcome, or things in your life, that is the narrow way you're walking. They are clear signs you're walking a narrow walk that at times seems impossible. And what God says to us, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And your walk has got very narrow at times. It's compressing. It seems as though I can't get through that. I'm too big. But you're pushing your way through. They're the trials of our faith. And that tells you, you are on the right course. You're on the right track. You're not walking the broad way, the easy way, where most are walking. Praise God. He speaks to us and shows us far more than we realize in this walk. And he's showing you what type of walk you're walking. Are you wanting the broad way, which often leads to the world, to compromise, or are you following the narrow way? And your life, your walk is showing it. For you must through much trial and tribulation make it into the kingdom of heaven, Acts tells us. So the preaching and teaching of the gospel is narrow. And many won't speak as the gospel presents it. Because people want to compromise. They want still that sin in their lives and try and spiritualize it. Well, the Lord knows. We all have weaknesses. Who can really make it? Who can be perfect? And so forth. No, no, no. We walk by faith. And even that is a gift that is given to us. And even though it does seem impossible, you just say to yourself, no, I can believe, I will believe, because God gave me the gift in which to do so. And there you are. You always come back to Christ. You always look to him. You always come back to his promises in his word. Don't look in the natural. Don't look how you feel. Don't look at your circumstances. They're always against you. Why? Because you walk the narrow way and they are the obstacles to your faith. That's how God has chosen for us to walk. That is what pleases him. And so we have to let God be God. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows our walk. He knows it better than we do ourselves. And that's why it never takes him by surprise with the trials and tribulations and so on. What does Proverbs 14 and verse 12 say? Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So there we are. Those in the flesh do exactly what it says here. It seems right to them. Is that how you walk? Does your walk seem right to you, to your logic, to your intellect, to the flesh? I hope not, because that's the broad way. Our walk never makes any sense. I don't even try and work it out anymore. There are things that I go through, things in my life, doesn't make any sense. And I just say, that is the narrow way. And all God wants me to do is to look to Jesus, the author, finisher of my faith. You see, both these paths lead in different directions. Both of them lead somewhere. And that's the point. All the world, all humans are on a road. It's going to lead somewhere. Either life or death. And we have the choice. And this is why we have to walk by faith and in the Spirit, which is absolutely essential. We know very well, but let's read what the Apostle says to the Romans in Romans 8, verse 5. Romans 8 and verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So isn't it interesting? Those who walk after the flesh, what do? They set their minds on the things of the flesh. They're fleshly. They're setting their mind, they're thinking, relying upon things of the world. They're not allowing the Spirit to renew the mind. There's the difference, because that is where the enemy attacks. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So in other words, the carnal mind doesn't have much time for the word of God. To renew the mind, to plant that seed in the mind, in the heart. Are you neglecting the word and prayer? This is what begins to happen. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So there we are. The Apostle Paul brings it out, what the carnal mind does, but he says, now, you're not of that. He's now talking positively. He says, you are of the Spirit, born again of the Spirit. Therefore, the mind is being renewed. And that's what he shows. And where does it start? Always in the mind. And this is why we put on the mind of Christ. That should be our confession each day when we get up. I have this day the mind of Christ. I walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Sometimes we need to confess these things over our lives. Because I know it can look very negative. What does he say in verse 14? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So the Spirit renews. It teaches us. It helps us to cast down that unbelief, the negative, the things that war against the members, you see. It's what we yield to. That is the question. And it's absolutely vital for the narrow way. It can't be walked otherwise. It's not a question of being narrow-minded, which many people often say sometimes about someone. It's walking that narrow way, dealing with the mind, not entertaining, not believing the lies of the devil, the things of the world, those things you hear, you read in the paper or the news, the negative and everything. We don't get involved in that. It's negative, it's of the world. It's interesting that in the context of what we've been looking here, how that Jesus walked that narrow way. That narrow way for him was dominion over the world, because he was delivered from it. And he says that is going to happen exactly the same with you and I, that we will have dominion over the world because we are being delivered from it. It's not having a hold over us. What does it say in Matthew 4, chapter 4 and verse 8? Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8. Again, the devil took him up upon... the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. See, he was showing he was going to give him the world. He probably wouldn't have given it because he's a liar and a thief. But Jesus wasn't going to fall for it, because Jesus knew that that is given to him, not Satan. And he said, I'm not going to worship you. I worship God only, my Father. You see? So do you have dominion in Jesus, or is it dominion over you? That is the question. Does the world have dominion over you, or do you have dominion in Jesus Christ? Where does it lie? It lies in Jesus. His dominion is our dominion, given to us. He shares what the Father has given with the overcomers, the first fruits. This is why he said in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image. In likeness, in other words. Let them have dominion over the earth, the same as we have this dominion. And that was what was given to Adam. But he forfeited that dominion through sin. And the enemy took it off Adam. He shouldn't have had it. And Jesus again is restoring that back to us. It's some of the blessings of Calvary, of resurrection, and what Christ has done for us, you see. But you have to walk the narrow way for these things to be accomplished and to happen. What does it say in Psalm 8 and verse 6? Psalm 8 and verse 6. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands and have put all things under his feet. And so it goes on. So the enemy is under Christ's feet. He's been given dominion and authority. In actual fact, it goes on. Put all things under his feet, all sheep, oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas, and so on. So it's talking of God's creation, things that he's created. He's given that dominion back to man through Jesus Christ, which he lost through sin. What does go back to the book of Romans again? Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. Romans 6 and verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. You see. So that is ministered to us by faith as we believe upon Christ. And that our belief upon him enables us, empowers us to be able to walk this narrow way and to meet every obstacle on that path. It might take us by surprise, but not Almighty God. And therefore, whatever obstacle befalls us, we know that we can walk it by faith in Christ. What does Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 say to 23? Ephesians chapter 1, 15 to 23. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceedingly greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is not only in this age, but also in which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That is absolutely mind-boggling what you read there. That Christ is all and in all. Everything that God the Father has done through him, everything that he has placed upon him, position, authority, dominion, revelation, wisdom, understanding, everything we have also in Jesus Christ as his head over us. So we can make it through that narrow way, as he has gone before, the forerunner, to make it possible. That is why we look to him and we don't look to the obstacles in that narrow path that we are on. And this can only be achieved through the narrow way. All these blessings, all that we've just read, all I've just read to you in Ephesians 1, 15, 23, can only be received through the narrow way. And finally, the real understanding and revelation of what I've been talking about today is the narrow way is for God's glory. And he knows what glorifies his name. And this is what glorifies him. This narrow way. So it's no mistake. It may look peculiar. You may not always understand it. But this is what glorifies God. What glorifies God is working with your faith to believe. to keep your eyes upon him as he works that deliverance in your life, changing your mind, delivering you in the mind, putting on the mind of Christ so that you walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That is what glorifies his name. And he does it by the Spirit. And he does it as we don't resist and fight him and do our own thing. Is God getting in the way of your life? Is he cramping your lifestyle? You need to stop in your tracks if that's what's happening. And get before him and find out what is going wrong, where your heart, your affections really lie. You see, God is speaking to us all the time. We just don't hear it. This is the problem. So that is what we've been looking at. Broadway or narrow way? We have to decide, because both of them lead somewhere. And one leads to glory, to eternity. The other leads to hell and torment. And he gives us a choice. We have a free will. We can choose. And if we do it God's way, then in his mercy and grace, he's going to even help us. And that's why the Blessed Comforter has come, the Holy Spirit, to come to help us. You see, the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, is he a comfort to you? He should be, because that's his ministry, to give us hope, comfort, to minister that peace, to strengthen us in our weakness. Or does he get in the way? He's a hindrance. You see, we have to be brutally honest at times before God, with our life, with our walk. How am I progressing? Am I growing? Am I maturing in Christ as I hear the gospel? Or does it get in the way of my life? That is the honest question we have to ask. Because as Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. Broad or narrow way. That's what we've been talking about today from Matthew 7, 13 and 14. That Jesus gave to the people. And he gives to us today.